I remember when I first heard the chant on Refuge, and it was explained that, you know, we chant, I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Sangha, I take refuge in the Dhamma, I take refuge in the Sangha. You repeat it three times, Dutiyampi for a second time, for a third time, just in case we kind of missed it the first time or the second time. You know? That's kind of how, as we've often talked about, how our learning develops. You know, it's through what the Buddha called repeated reflection. Repeated reflection. You know, we keep reflecting, we keep looking, we keep seeing, our understanding develops over time. One of the teachings that we may have heard a lot, or one of the notions that's very elemental to the Buddha's teaching that we may have heard of a lot, is what the Buddha said about his teaching. He said, and he was really good at simplifying things. He said, I teach suffering in the end of suffering. I teach suffering in the end of suffering. And sometimes that may seem a little paradoxical, but one of the ways to think about that is, you know, our goal is the end of suffering in this practice. Our goal is the end of suffering, but ending our suffering, coming to the end of our suffering, begins by seeing that we're suffering. So it depends on seeing that we're suffering. It depends on comprehending our suffering. So when we can comprehend our suffering, understand our suffering, then we're able to come to the end of it. So ending our suffering begins with seeing that we're suffering. And of course, that's always one of the challenges in the practice, because one of the characteristics of suffering is that when we're suffering, we're blinded, you know, and we're thrown off balance and we don't see what's happening. We have some sense of it, and usually we try to get away from it. And then that puts us in a further state of not being able to see things clearly. So, you know, and actually the Buddha talks about suffering, the beginning of suffering being ignorance, you know, because we're not paying attention to what's going on. We're not paying attention to what we're doing that's causing suffering. So ending our suffering begins with seeing when we're suffering. And that means, of course, you know, seeing suffering in its most blatant forms, when we're really, you know, feeling lots of anguish or despair or tremendous anger or painful desire, but also in its more subtle forms, what I sometimes like to call dis-ease, you know, or lately I've been using this term, the daily dukkha, you know. It's like, you know, sometimes we go through periods of time when there's certain things that are happening and we're really suffering over them. But then there's also just sort of this daily thread of pain, internal suffering, mental suffering is what we're talking about, right? You know, of anxiety or stress, you know, this sort of dis-ease that sort of becomes part of almost like the fabric of our lives. So you know, we're asked to see these large manifestations of suffering, but also these more subtle, and to see how when we're in a state where we're caught in some pattern of dis-ease, anxiety, stress, worry, discontent. So in the course of our days, what we're asked to do, of course, is to be mindful of our suffering as we go throughout the day. Am I in harmony? Am I in tune? Is there a quality of ease and well-being and open-heartedness as I go through my day, or is there a tightness? Is there a contraction? You know, that's the way that I would usually try to pick it up. It's like it's in the body, right? You know, am I in a state of ease? Is there a sense of well-being, a quality of brightness in the heart, a quality of being connected to my heart and my wisdom, and you know, and usually that is, we see that in the body and on a very microscopic level in the breath. That's why it's so important to pay attention to what the breath is like. So we pay attention during the course of the day. Am I out of tune? You know, is there a quality of dis-ease or dissonance? You know, and of course we want to pay attention to when there's a lot of dis-ease or a lot of suffering. We want to see that. But as we go through the course of the day, our practice is to bring awareness to suffering. So this is, again, what we've been talking about so much over the last months, this very simple process of bringing awareness. Bring awareness to what's there. Okay, there's anxiety. I can feel that in the body somewhere right in here, in the chest. I can feel it. All right. And creating this relationship to it where you're observing it. This is where things begin to change. I'm really anxious. What's going to happen? Etc. To, okay, there's anxiety. That's the big shift that we're making. That's the shift that leads to healing and leads to the end of suffering, is going from, you know, I don't like the way things are, I want this, I'm worrying about this, to, oh, there's worry, there's anxiety, there's disliking. Being able to feel that as a sense in the body with a little bit of space. You know, okay, there it is. There it is. There's self-judgment. There's worry. I'm just kind of going through my usual daily progression. You know, there's worry about the future. There's regret about the past. There's anxiety about aging. Okay, feeling that and just bringing a gentle awareness to it, a couple of seconds, right? We always talk about 3-4 seconds. Just bring awareness to what's there. In many ways, we don't need to do a lot more than that. You know, that's, there's so much that our awareness can understand about what we're doing and what we're holding on to. And just bringing awareness to whatever is there creates a different relationship to it, a relationship to it in which we're not quite holding on to it in the way that we were, or maybe we are letting go for a few seconds. So there's an alleviation of suffering, and there's also the wisdom that comes when we understand the potential for an alleviation of suffering and what the alleviation of suffering is like, you know, and how that is preferable to when we're holding on. So just bringing awareness, being able to kind of look with space, and then, you know, we've talked about this ABC, breath. Breath helps us maintain the space a little bit, and then C, compassion. We can kind of look into the heart and begin to have compassion for ourselves. So this quality of awareness, when there's enough space, you know, it has wisdom in it. It has wisdom in it. We can kind of support that wisdom by asking questions sometimes, or remembering what the Buddha said about certain things. But there's an intuitive wisdom that's right there in that awareness. You know, we see that our suffering comes when we're clinging. So what we begin to start to understand, you know, if we're caught in a state like anxiety or aversion towards something or disliking, we begin to start to understand that the emotion itself is not a problem. You know, the emotion itself is not a problem. You know, the aversion or the disliking or the judgment or the worry or the discontent is just a sensation in the body. That's not the problem. The problem is that we're holding on to it. I mean, that's the heart of wisdom in the Buddha's teachings. You know, the problem is not the emotion. The problem is not the liking or the disliking or even the view or opinion that we have about something. The problem is not the regret or the worry about the future. The problem is the holding on to it, the clinging. When there's just, and this is what we begin to see when we bring awareness. So when there's just, if we use the example of aversion, I don't like this, or worry about what I have to do later on, or uncertainty about the future, what's going to happen, that's a good one, right? These days, we begin to see that, you know, if this feeling is just there as a sensation, and we don't hold on to it, there's just awareness of it, our suffering is alleviated. If it's there and we're holding on to it, there's suffering. And another way to think about what that means is, when the sensation is just there of aversion or disliking or worry, and we're not holding on to it, we're able to connect to the heart. If we're holding on to the sensation, if there's clinging, the heart becomes blocked off. The heart is blocked off. And this is a really, really good way to think about what suffering is. The heart is blocked off. The heart is blocked off. Our access to the heart is blocked. And that happens when we cling. Just the arising of the feeling doesn't block off the heart. But when we hold on to it, the heart becomes blocked off. So when we don't hold on, when there's an alleviation of suffering, and we start to notice that when there's just that awareness, right? Okay, instead of being like this, holding on to the worry about the future, when we get a little space and we're not holding on to it, there's an alleviation of clinging. When we're not clinging so much, or there's an alleviation, we have access to the heart. When there's a little bit of space, and this is why, you know, having that stabilization in the breath is so important, when there's a little bit of space between these different emotions and feelings and worries and regrets and likes and dislikes, and we're able to observe them and not hold on to them and grasp after them, when there's some space, we have access to the heart. We have access to the heart. So the awareness, A, kind of creates a little bit of space, right? The awareness creates a little bit of space. We go from, you know, I don't like that, to there's disliking. So we go from, I don't like that, you know, and holding on to that, to, okay, there's disliking. We create a little bit of space. And then the breath helps us maintain the space. You know, it gives us, you know, that's equanimity. It helps us maintain the space, and we can access the heart. And we can have compassion. We can access compassion. So if we're feeling anxiety or stress, if it's that daily dukkha, or if it's worry about the future, or if it's regret about the past, we can have, when there's space, we can have compassion for our suffering in the moment. Okay, I'm feeling this anxiety, you know, I can have a little bit of space here. I can see that there's a little bit of space. I can connect to the heart. Let me have compassion. We can start to connect to compassion for the suffering that we're experiencing in the moment, but also the suffering that we've experienced over the course of our life, and if you prefer, our lifetimes. You know, when we really start to see that suffering with clarity and with a little bit of space, and we start to understand our experience, you know, we realize, you know, hey, this isn't the first, you know, this isn't my first rodeo when it comes to suffering. I've been stressed out like this pretty long time. You know, I've been worried about the past, or, you know, worried about what I've done in the past, or fearful about the future, or felt discontent or self-judgment. You know, these are feelings, and you see that, you begin to understand that. You know, it's like, we all kind of know that. I mean, if you feel, you know, a certain disliking about something, or an aversion that you have to a person, or, you know, some kind of internal disease, if you look at it clearly enough, you see the karmic compounded truth of that experience. I mean, that's what the Buddha said. You know, he said, you know, I could saw that I've been suffering in this way for lifetimes, you know? So, and you can see that, you know, you can see that. That's not something, it's not an idea. You know, if there's enough space, you know, we see that. Wow, I've shed enough tears to fill the four oceans. As the Buddha said, is, you know, I don't know, it's like, I guess I'm weird. This is one of my favorite quotes. You know, this is greater, the tears you have shed while transmigrating and wandering this long, long time, crying and weeping from being joined with what is displeasing, being separated from what is pleasing, not the water and the four great oceans. I mean, I love that. I'm thinking, like, this is kind of perverse. Why does this particular quote and this understanding and this teaching of the Buddha mean so much to you? Because it's a way out. He's showing us the way out. You know, it's joyful. Oh, this is what's been happening for these so many lifetimes. Now I get it. There's a way out. There's a way out is through. The way out is through understanding what's going on. So, we've all over these last months, we've all suffered, you know. We've all suffered, crying and weeping from being joined with what is displeasing and being separated from what's pleasing. You know, these have been difficult times for most of us these past months. And there's been suffering that we've all experienced. I know because you've all told me that, you know. There's been suffering, needless to say, over the pandemic and the election and, you know, the divisive politics. So many people I've talked to over the past weeks have talked about just the challenges in their own families, you know, around, you know, division in terms of politics and differing views and opinions and how painful that is. And there's been so much suffering just in the world in terms of uncertainty and violence and divide, you know, that we've all, you know, so again, you know, that's really important to know and to take note of, and just to kind of take a step back and say, you know, we've all experienced this suffering, you know. We've all experienced difficulty and challenge and pain, you know, and not to mention, you know, the pain that comes from sickness, aging, and death, you know, and separation, you know. I mean, it's hard to be in this human body, in this human life, you know. You know, here you have this beautiful life, and, you know, but you know what? It ain't gonna last that long, you know. Even the Buddha, when his dear friends died towards the end of his own life, you know, I mean, he felt great sadness. Now, he didn't cling to it, you know, but he felt that sadness. The difference between him and us is that we cling to it, you know. I mean, that first Dharma talk he gave, you know, he was late in his 80s. We're all kind of getting close to that, or getting there. Some of us are already there, maybe. He looked out, you know, when he gave that first Dharma talk after Sariputta and Moggallana died, and he said, man, you know, I just feel a real emptiness that my friends aren't here, you know. He felt that sadness. So this is, you know, it's hard to be in this human life, in this human body. We're blessed that we have a path that we can follow, so that we can find a way out of the suffering that most people, you know, never find a way out of. And that path, of course, is through recognizing that we're suffering, having space, and cultivating compassion for ourselves. You know, it begins with that, you know, cultivating compassion for ourselves. Cultivating compassion for ourselves is, you know, and I'll talk more about this Saturday, you know, if you guys come on Saturday, but is really hard. You know, it's really hard because cultivating compassion for yourself means that you have to see your suffering and have enough space from it where you're not clinging, you know, and that's really hard for us. It's really hard for us to look at our own suffering with space. It's easier to have compassion for the person in the box next to you on the screen because, you know, it's like, all right, I know they're suffering. You know, I can have some space with that and have compassion for them. It's like, I'm suffering, that's harder for me to have space with. You know? But we can do this. You know, we can do this. And that's why we meditate, and that's why we take refuge in each other and in the Dharma and in the Buddha. So so this compassion for ourselves in view of our suffering is a lot of times, I like to say it's the key, right? I'm not sure when I came up, it was a chapter in my first book, The Key of Compassion. We recognize our suffering, we cultivate compassion, we have some space, we cultivate compassion for ourselves, that's how we get to the heart. You know, that's how you get to the heart. You know? Which is, you know, it's a tough path, because the way to the heart is by through recognizing your suffering with space and cultivating compassion. So in many ways, the key to the door of the heart is compassion for ourselves in view of our suffering. And once we begin to feel that compassion for ourselves, you know, then we are able to begin to access the heart. I mean, this is how the path begins almost for everybody, right? You realize you're suffering, you have that moment of clarity when there's a little bit of space. I mean, that's how it was for me. Look at the date, 30 years ago, 30 some odd years ago, you know, where I woke up one day at the age of 34, 35 and said, oh my God, you're suffering. You know, there was just that little moment of clarity, and there was a feeling of compassion, you know, or the sense of compassion. And you know what? I got to do something about this. I want to do something about this. I want to be happy. I want to be free from my suffering. You know, it's like, let me get the phone book. Remember phone books? Let me get the phone book out and see who's teaching insight meditation. You know, it wasn't quite like that. You know, you elaborate your stories over time. You know, that's called folklore. But, you know, it was like, I got to find a way out. You know, I have to find a way out of this. I think the first thing I did is I did get the phone book out and found a therapist, you know. And then, you know, I started looking into spiritual practices. And I remembered when I was in college and I did transcendental meditation. And it's like, you know, let me find out about this. And I talked to my friend and I said, you know, where I was. And he said, you know, I got a couple of books on Buddhism. Actually, he gave me two books. One was Alan Watts's The Way of Zen, and another book was by Meister Eckhart. You know, and it was like I started reading that. Yeah, this Buddhism sounds good. But it all came from, man, you're suffering. You know, and that's where the path begins. The Buddha said the path begins when you recognize your suffering. You know? So we do this. We take a step back. You know, I mean, today is, for many of us, I felt kind of funny about talking about this a little bit, because for some of us, it's a very joyful, and there's a great sense of relief. But, you know, it's also important to take a step back and to say, wow, we've really suffered over these last weeks and months. You know, if it's with the election and all the uncertainty and the divisiveness, you know, and friends against friends and families against families and, you know, and all the upset and, you know, and of course the pandemic, and then of course just what it is to be alive, you know, and, you know, for me, it was just that little bit of a pause, you know, it's okay. There's been a lot of suffering here. There is a lot of suffering. Can I have compassion for myself? You know, and it's out of this compassion for ourselves that we move forward. You know, as I just spoke about in terms of my own experience, you know, out of this compassion for ourselves, you know, we see that and we move forward and we make an effort to end our suffering. We make an effort to end our suffering. And, you know, we make an effort to meditate and take the actions that we can take in this life so that we can end our suffering. And it's out of seeing our suffering and just, you know, again, with space. And actually, you know, at the risk of getting into political sentiments, because people might have different views, but, you know, if you are feeling joyful today, or there's a greater sense of relief because, you know, we at least know what things are about in the world a little bit better, because these things are important. You know, I mean, that's a really great time to take a pause and look at your suffering, because you have a little bit of space. You know, we always talk about brightness. All right, I feel good. You know, let me just recognize, a gentle recognition. Okay, there's been a real suffering, you know, there's been real pain. Let me just see that and have some compassion for myself. Can you feel that? How we've suffered over these months and weeks, you know, and of course, we'll continue to suffer, but a little bit less and a little bit less clinging and a little bit more connection to the heart. So out of this compassion for ourselves, we move forward. And, you know, this compassion brings us to the heart. This compassion for ourselves in view of our suffering brings us to the heart. So it brings us to our innate wisdom. It brings us to the sublime abidings. It brings us to metta. It brings us to loving kindness. It brings us to our wish to be happy. You know, just like for me 30 somewhat years ago, you know, and wanting to end suffering. And, you know, I want to be happy in this life. I want to have happiness. I always wanted to, you know, to have a happy and a joyful life. What's happened here? You know? So it brings us to the heart and our wish to be happy, to have happiness of heart. And we begin to cultivate that intention. What am I doing? You know, what are the actions that I'm taking? Are they in service of the heart and my wish to be happy? Are they in service of the heart and my wish to be happy? What am I going to do today? What decisions am I going to make? Am I going to act out of fear and aversion? Or am I going to, or desire for sense experience? Or am I going to act out of love? And am I going to act out of my wish to be happy? So, you know, we cultivate this intention to live and to take action out of love for ourselves and for others. We move forward. We take action in an effort to know true happiness in this life.